Now let's consider some angles on the economics of payola. In case you don't know, a simple definition of payola is paying to have your song played on the radio. And today, in the United States, this is legal only if the station discloses that's what's going on. Otherwise, it's illegal. I'm going to draw from a famous article by Ronald Coase, Payola in Radio and Television Broadcasting. These are hardly the only angles on payola, but let's start with some basics, and we hope to get to some other issues in future videos. In part, this Coase paper is important because he pointed out that payola actually can be efficient in a number of key regards. Payola has a bad name, and it sounds like a form of corruption that leads to nothing good, but Coase gave us all a deeper perspective on what payola actually means. For instance, payola can be a signal of musical popularity. The music producers which are willing to pay to have their songs broadcast on the air, well, they're going to pay to have the songs broadcast that they think are likely to be most popular. So payola actually tends to get us music which is in accord with consumer preferences. Payola also gives the disc jockey, and perhaps also the radio station, an incentive to identify and promote good performers. If you're, say, a disc jockey and you come across an unknown performer who has the potential to be great and extremely popular, well, you might try to market or discover that performer because from that individual you have the chance to earn payola income. Maybelline is one of the best songs by early rock star Chuck Berry, and it's one of the songs that got him his big start. If you look on the label for the song Maybelline, you will find that half of the songwriting credit is assigned to a disc jockey, a famous disc jockey during the time, named Alan Freed. Now, Alan Freed had nothing to do with writing the song Maybelline, but Chuck Berry and his record company, Chess Records, they knew that if they gave half of the songwriting credit to this famous DJ, well, that DJ would have an incentive to make the song a big hit. And indeed, that's exactly what happened. Ronald Coase also laid out a general theory of payola income and advertising income and how companies weigh the two off against each other. Let's see how this works more concretely. For purposes of argument, let's assume that payola income is illegal and this really can be enforced, and so a radio station is restricted to advertising income. That is, the station will play songs and attract listeners, and the radio station then sells airtime to advertisers who hope to reach those listeners with their messages. What then is the musical incentive? Well, the incentive is to play songs which appeal to individuals who buy products, advertised products, that is, because that raises the value of the advertising revenue. So let's say the ads are for cars, as is pictured here. The incentive is then to play music which attracts people who buy cars, and those tend to be individuals who are just a bit older, and of course, who have some money. It's not, say, the typical 16-year-old. In the 1950s, when the debates over payola were most intense, if you were trying to maximize advertising income, well, you might try playing a music style such as big band, which at that time appealed to somewhat older listeners, and again, those were the people with the money most likely to buy advertised products. Now, for purposes of contrast, let's introduce payola income into the equation. That gives the radio station an incentive to play songs which appeal to individuals who buy music, and not just individuals who buy, say, cars. So let's say you're a radio station owner and you're asking yourself, should I play some songs which will appeal to 16-year-olds? Well, if all you're doing is selling ads for cars, maybe not. But if you're taking in some income from payola, that is being paid to play songs which musical listeners will enjoy and maybe go out and buy the downloads or buy the CDs or go to hear in concert, well, then it's a greater likelihood that you will try to appeal your product and your programming to the individuals who buy music and not just cars. Since a lot of the music buyers are young individuals, especially relative to car buyers, this basically means that payola favors musical styles which target the young and which are popular with the young. So in past history, payola has been important for the development of R&B, rhythm and blues, and its popularity, soul, rap music, and in general, music for younger people, Some of these styles now have spread to a lot of different age groups, but in their earlier years, they really got their start with the young. So there's a kind of aesthetic diversity argument for having some payola. Keep in mind that without payola, musical fame is still to a considerable extent determined by commercial forces. In addition to the radio stations wanting to play musical styles which appeal to the wealthier buyers, well, a lot of musical performers, they'll find their fate determined by whether they can get big advertising budgets behind them. With payola, there's a new competitor, call it cash in the hand, which gives maybe stars who are working for independent labels or new up-and-coming musicians a way of, so to speak, cutting into the queue and getting some radio airplay. Note also that even if payola is banned by law, that doesn't mean that payola goes away. For instance, today, payola is still extremely common. It is often done through what is called the third-party exception, that is, the use of independent distributors, who, for all intents and purposes, are basically engaging in payola, even if they manage to do it in a way which technically skirts the way the law is written. So if we ask the question, should payola be illegal? Well, maybe we don't know, but we have seen that there is an efficiency argument for payola, and there is also an aesthetic diversity argument for payola, so at the very least, it isn't obvious that payola should in fact be against the law. Coase's article on payola is still very relevant and very readable, and of course Coase later won a Nobel Prize, but for further reading on payola, you could see my book, In Praise of Commercial Culture. You also can just Google Economics Payola. There's a very good researcher, Gabriel Rossman, who's written a lot on payola. You can Google to those writings and see also his book called Climbing the Charts.